There's an old song called God is So Good. We're going to start by just singing a prayer today. It's going to sound like this. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. Now we're going to go a little more. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to. And now if you know how to sing parts, let's sing it together a little more. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. God, you are good to us. Your presence, your spirit, your power, who you are, God. We come today just to worship, to honor you, to lift our voices. But mostly, God, we want to give to you because you give to us. You give us life. You give us Christ. You give us goodness. You give us your faithfulness, your love, your graciousness. God, none of us in here deserve any of that. That is all you, God. You are the creator. You are the sustainer. You are the one who's faithful. And so, God, today I pray that we are mindful of that as we open your word. God, would you fill us? Help us to know what you want us to know. And help us to be what you want us to be. And help us to do what you want us to do today, God. And we pray all of this in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen. Well, every November, we have what we call a stewardship series, and this really is where we talk about how to manage the life that God has given us. And part of this is how we manage our resources and how we learn about what God wants from us and how are we in terms of generosity. Part of it is how we manage our time and are we good stewards of our minutes, our hours, our days, our years. And part of stewardship is that we would live our life primarily not for ourselves, but for God, His kingdom, His priorities, and how we focus on that. And as we planned for the series this year, there was something that really, really stuck with me and I was very committed to with our other guys that I really wanted to focus on this year. Because honestly, it comes a little bit out of a concern, partly for our church and a little bit out of a concern more as a cultural problem, but how the culture impacts us, and that is in the area of margin. Many of us do not have margin. Our calendars are packed from morning until night. Our paychecks are stretched from the first to the last day of the month. Our energy is maxed out. Our responsibilities that we have added to our lives are so much that we live up to the edge of what we can handle and sometimes past that. And friends, I want to tell you this as lovingly as I can, that life without margin is life without peace. Margin is the space between our load and our limit. It's the difference between breathing freely and gasping for air. God's design for all of us has always been that we would have margin. I mean, right in the Ten Commandments, he said that we are to set aside a Sabbath day so that we can find margin in our week. Jesus would get up in the morning and he would pray to the Father so that he could find more margin in his day. And when he told the Israelites, don't harvest the corners of the fields, why? So that other people would be able to glean from that so that you can be generous with what God has given you. He was teaching them margin within the resources that God has given. And that is the reason we're doing this series, because I have a sense that we are maxed out. And margin is more than a financial principle, it is a spiritual discipline. It is learning to live with enough space in your finances, your schedule, and in your soul work that God can move freely in your life. And so over the next few weeks, here's what we're going to talk about, and I put up all of the topics today, that you would put God first, that you would learn to be content, because some of the reason we push so hard is we haven't learned that value of contentment. Work hard at the right things, leave space to be generous, and live with eternity in mind. And it all begins right here. Put God first. You cannot have margin in your life if you haven't settled who is the center of your life. And so if God isn't first, everything else is going to fall out of order. But when He is first, everything else finds its place. I don't know about you, but man, I feel it. I feel the pressure of it, don't you? Don't you feel like we're busier now than ever? Don't you feel like we push so much into our schedule and into our lives that we have little room for the things that really matter? Didn't Jesus one time say that the things that matter the most are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself? And yet the things that we push into our lives are so much that we leave little room for loving God or loving others. King Solomon in the Old Testament one time wrote, "I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun." Solomon is saying, I had everything that you ever wanted and everything and more. I had all of the promotions and the travel and the late nights and the money and the houses and the cars. Well, he didn't have the cars, but you know, we do. And I pushed to the very, very limit. And that's what we do. Not only do we push ourselves, we push our kids to the very ends of their limits. Achieve more, do more, become more. And at the end of their life, I want to ask you, have somewhere in the middle of that, have we forgotten to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves? I'm talking about priorities. I'm not talking about success or achievement. I'm not talking about doing your best. That's all fine. I'm talking about priorities, putting God first. At Axis, our mission has always been that we would revolve the world around Jesus one life at a time. That you would revolve your life around Christ. He's the center of your life. So I want to talk about margin. I want to talk about putting Christ first. And I want to read a verse out loud called Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. We just finished the series on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and this is part of that, but I want us to read this out loud, all right? "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Now, we're going to do it again because that was lame. So we're going to start by reading it out loud together. Here we go. "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." You guys get an A. Good job. Good job. First time you got a C minus. That time you get an A. Put first things first. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness and all these things. What things? Well, he had just talked about how we're worried about what we will eat and what we will wear and what we will drink. He's saying, you're worried about all of that stuff. And I'm telling you, all of that. I mean, do we believe that Christ is all sufficient, or do we not believe that? And if we believe that He's all sufficient, then He's saying, hey, don't worry about all that stuff. Just seek Christ first. He knows you need that stuff. He's talking about the necessities of life. He said the Gentiles, or people without faith, they are running around trying to find those things. They're chasing. But as Solomon said, it's like a chasing after the wind. How many of you feel like you're chasing after the wind these days? Don't chase after material security as your main goal. Prioritize God's reign, His value, His mission, His righteousness. And when you do that, you can trust that He will faithfully provide. It's an issue of Christ and His sufficiency. It's not, we're not talking about abundance or luxury. We're talking about the fact that Christ is sufficient. But the principle is, put God first in your life. God says, I want to be top priority. I don't want to play second fiddle to anything in your life. He deserves to be number one in your life because He made you, He created you, He loves you, and He wants the best for you. Right in the Ten Commandments, the first four are all about putting God first. Have no other gods before me. No other gods. No other gods. Make the Sabbath day and make it holy. Don't create another image in front of me. Worship the Lord your God and Him only. Worship only God. And you say, well, I thought there was only one God. Yeah, but there's a lot of little g gods. There's a lot of little g gods, a lot of things that we put first in our life. You've made it like a priority. You've made it first in your life. He said, don't do that. God should be first in your life. Seek Him first. Bob Benson used to tell a story of one time when he spoke at his son's commencement service. He really wanted to impress the students, and so he had a nice vest, three-piece suit on. But the problem is, when he looked down at his vest after he had spoken, he realized that one of his buttons was off, and so they were all off, and his vest was actually kind of askew a little bit. And the problem was that he didn't get his first button right. If you don't get it started right, you're not going to end it well. I'm really trying with all of my heart today to talk to you who are parents, those of you who have kids, those of you who have decided that somehow their schedule is more important than Christ and what He has for them. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those two commandments are the most important commandments. So what I want to do just very quickly today is just give you the word first. First, F-I-R-S-T, putting Christ first in your life. The first area we should do that in is in our finances, F. God put should be first in your finances. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 through 10, honor the Lord by giving Him the first part of all your income, and He will fill your barns to overflow. God says, give me the first part back, and I will trust, you can trust me with the rest. I'll bless you with the rest. God said, set the first thing first. And that's often what many of us don't do. We put God last. We'll give God the leftovers instead of the first priority in our finances. Often it's, we'll just give what's left. But God says, put me first. Give to me first. I was generous to you. I want you to return that generosity, not because God needs it, but because He needs your heart. Matt, Jesus one time said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Put Him first. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 23 says, bring the tithe to the designated place of worship, the place the Lord your God chooses for His name to be honored. Doing this will teach you to always fear the Lord your God. That's the principle of tithing. That's the principle of giving the first 10% back to the Lord. Setting aside a priority and saying, God, I trust you with this. I don't know how we're going to make it, but God, I trust you. I want to put you first. And God blesses you in that way. I'm pausing only because I didn't really ask her permission to do this. But it's so good. I should call her right now, I think. Actually, Mom, I know you're in church, so I'm about to tell a story, but anyway, I'll ask her after this, and then, you know, I'll tell her not to listen to the message today. Anyway, but my mom is so faithful to the Lord, and she owns an assisted living home in North Carolina, and that assisted living home fell on some difficult times over the last year, and that's really her income source. And when you don't have an income, then you go, well, you know, what do you give back to the Lord? And last year, at the stewardship time, when we did exactly what we're doing this year, she determined in her own mind that even though she wasn't receiving an income from the home, she still needed to give to the Lord. She kept her commitment and has through this entire year giving back to the Lord even though she didn't have an income from the home. Now, she has some from her retirement, but not from the home. She put first things first, and she's trusting that God you will make it right in the end. And I'll definitely have to tell her I told you that story. But it just came to me. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Don't hold back. Be somebody who's faithful with the Lord. Make sure that you're setting aside right from the beginning of the month to say, God, you're going to be first. And I'm just telling you right now, this is the only time in the Bible that it says, test me. The book of Malachi chapter 3, God says, test me in this. And I'm telling you, I will be faithful. And I have seen that over and over and over again in my own life. Trust the Lord. Part of what we're going to be talking about in this series is saying, God, I trust you with what you have given me. And I don't want to be selfish with it. I want to give you back what you've given to me. First is finances. I is interest. If God's really going to be number one, you put him first in your interest. That means in the fun times, your play times, your amusements, your recreation, your hobbies, your pastimes, the things that you're interested in. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, whatever you do, do it all to God's glory. You're saying, what? I can go on vacation to God's glory? Yeah, just don't make the vacation all about you. Find ways to worship the Lord in the middle of it. Find ways to, in your family time, to make him first. Find ways to settle down and enjoy recreation. Read something. Spend some time in the Word of God while you're on vacation. There's a way to put God into every aspect of your life. You can eat to the glory of God and spend time with friends to the glory of God. You can play golf to the glory of God. That's rough for me, but you can do it. You can go sailing to the glory of God. You can collect stamps to the glory of God. How do I know that? Because he said, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. That means your attitude and your mindset is always, God, whatever I do, I'm going to put you first. I'm going to have an attitude of gratitude. If you're out playing pickleball, say, Lord, thank you that gave me the arms to be able to do it. Thank you that gave me the good hand-eye coordination, because I wouldn't be able to do this if it weren't for you. We have to have a mentality that says, God, you are first in my life, and I'm so grateful. God makes our life not just better. He makes our life complete. You can tell what a person's priorities are by seeing what they get excited about, what they talk about the most. I think that one of the things we should be talking about with people is our relationship with the Lord. And I believe that the tide is changing, where we felt like for years that we were pushed down. Don't talk about it. Don't say this. Don't that. I think the tide is changing a bit. And I'm thankful for it, where we're able to just feel like, and we should have anyway, but be able to say, man, you know what makes me excited? That God gave me another day of breath. That God gave me another day of life. That God has just blessed me with this or that or the other. Man, make your interest about what God wants for you. Colossians 3:17 says it another way. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Faith is not a Sunday event. It's an everyday identity. And whether you're coaching Little League or cooking dinner or watching a movie, the question is, does this honor Christ? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says that our bodies are living sacrifices to Christ, holy and pleasing to him. Your act of worship is not just singing on a Sunday morning. It is how you live your life day in and day out. And some people say, well, I don't have time for God. I've got this or that, but the truth is, you have time for what you value. You have time for what you care about. So take everything that you do and think, God, how can I love you through this? And how can I love other people through this? R is relationships. Is God first in your relationships? Do you treat others with love? Are you angry? Are you hard to live with? Do you make decisions that are filled with integrity? If you want God to be first in your life, then you make him first in your relationships. Love your neighbor as yourself. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. Children, obey your parents. Love your enemies. Turn the other cheek. Over 70 passages that encourage, love one another, encourage one another, pray for one another, and speak the truth in love. So let me encourage you. to make sure that you are putting a priority, putting God first in your relationships. Proverbs 12:26 says, a righteous man is careful about his friendships. He's cautious. The truth is, if you really want God first in your life, then there's some relationships that may be wrong for you. We've seen this happen before. There's a dynamic Christian who gets wooed away. He did not choose his friends carefully. It's easier to pull somebody down than it is to pull somebody up. So put God first in your relationship. How about putting God first in modeling for others who don't know Christ? Look for opportunities to bring the conversation around to God. Or do you let their conversation drag you down? Those of you who are parents, let me ask you, who or what type of people are you exposing your children to? Who are you inviting into your home? I remember as a kid growing up, my mom and dad opened their home all the time to people that were just part of the kingdom of God. I remember missionaries would come into our home and other pastors would be in our home and people from the church would be in our home, and we saw ministry in our home. Those were marking moments where I saw them helping people. I remember that we had a woman from our church that her house had been on fire, and she escaped through the window, and here she was in our home bleeding. They found that as a place where they could be comforted, encouraged. Who's in your home? Who do your kids see? Who are you exposing them to? Matthew chapter 22, again, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. That's the first and greatest commandment. And love your neighbor as yourself. So are you putting God first in your relationships? Hebrews chapter 10, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We live in a culture that treats worship as all optional. I'm glad you're here today. But I am concerned. Very concerned, actually. I get concerned when we, a couple of our leaders and myself, come in the back and we say, well, it seems like it's low today. Oh, you know why? It's raining outside. That must be why. And then the next week, sunny outside, and somebody comes to me and says, it seems like we're a little bit down today. Oh, it's sunny outside. People are probably enjoying the weather. Guys, man, I don't love that, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't understand the mentality that says somehow worship in Christ is optional. I don't get that. That just does not resonate with me at all. I mean, either he is priority or he's not priority. I mean, there are times where we're counting. I'll have our children's ministry will come to us and say, you know what? This family hasn't been here for like three times in 6 months. Why? Because all their games are on Sunday. And I'm like, what are we teaching our kids? I'm telling you this not to be convicting, to just say, I mean, that's between you and the Holy Spirit. But man, I mean, what do your kids learn through that? That they, I don't change the mission of Access Church to be revolving your life around your kids, one kid at a time. It just seems to be that way sometimes. Look, if it's sunny outside, I don't know. How about just, hey, it's nice today. Let's go to church. Or hey, you know what? It's a little bit rainy today. I don't know, guys. Let's just go to church. Or hey, I don't know, but it seems to be a little bit snowy. Okay, let's watch online. But it's okay, you know. But let's figure out a way to make Christ a priority in our lives. I'm definitely concerned about that. And that leads to S, which is schedule. Put God first in your schedule. Ephesians 5:15, be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. How do I put God first in my schedule? I ask him to help me to use my time wisely. You get up, you make a to-do list of things, and you say, God, what, out of these 25 things to do, what do you want me to do? Do you invite God into your calendar? How do you select what's most important? Invite God in. God, what do you want me to do today? What's most important to you? I mean, when you look at everything that you have to do, how do you balance it? You do it based on your priorities. Well, what are your priorities? What comes first in your life? And can I encourage you, make a daily appointment with God. If God is going to be first in your life, then you've got to have a daily time with Him. It doesn't matter when you do it. You could do it when you get up, or maybe at lunchtime, or maybe in the evening, or what have you. But Jesus did it. If Jesus, who is God in the flesh, needed it, then how much more do we need it? And include your kids. In the book of Deuteronomy, God told His people to write His commandments on their hearts and the minds of their children. Talk about them when you walk along the road and when you lie down. Pray at their bedside. We all need time with God. God is the essence of life. He is the reason that we exist. How can we not spend time? Maybe you just need to say, God, let's review my life for a little bit. Can we review my schedule, my goals, my priorities? I really need to relook at this because I think my life is out of whack a little bit. I don't think I have time for everything. And so I know You don't expect me to do everything. So God, what do You want me to do? Follow the example of Jesus. He needed time early in the morning to go with the Lord. A verse in Jeremiah says, "My people have forgotten me for days on end." Have you forgotten God? Somewhere in your pursuit of everything else, He's fallen, maybe not to last place, but certainly not to first. Spend time. And then T, troubles. When you face unexpected problems or pressure, when you have a crisis, who do you turn to? God says, turn to Me when you have a problem. A lot of people, when they're in a tight situation, prayer is the last resort, not the first option. Then they try to do everything they can to physically fix the problem. They say, well, I'm going to do everything I can to get it right. But they forget that maybe the first thing they need to do is pray. Don't wait till you're hopeless. Don't wait till you're at the end of your rope. I mean, if that is when it happens, then okay, but why don't you put it first? Make God your first resort in a crisis. He's your ever-present help in times of trouble. God is waiting. He says to you, call upon Me in your days of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor Me. You want to honor God? Go to Him first in your time of trouble. God says, put Me first, even in the tough times. Some people get embarrassed and think, I don't talk to God too much when times are good, and I don't want to bother Him, you know, with my problems. God says, bother Me. It's not a bother. I can handle your problems and every other person's problems all at the same time. I'm big enough for that, so bring it to Me. Psalm 46:1, God is our ever-present help in times of trouble. You'll never know that God is all you need until God is all you have. When life falls apart, the people that put their faith in Him first don't fall apart. They fall into His arms. Philippians chapter 4. Do not be anxious. Anybody anxious today? Anybody worried? But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Worry is a signal. It's a signal in your life. And when you begin to worry, you should not panic, you should pray. The more you worry, the less you pray for many of us. But the more you pray, the less you'll worry. And so when you feel that pang of like anxiety or worry, that's your moment. Pray. Peace doesn't come from control, friends. It comes from surrender. Hear me. Peace doesn't come from when you try to just take it all in, do a little more, fix all your own problems. It comes from surrender. And so while we live in a world that celebrates hurry and busyness and exhaustion, as if the fullest schedule means the fullest life, we have overcommitted ourselves. We are overstimulated, underconnected to one another, and underconnected to the only one who can actually fill us. I am asking you today to put God first. I'm not talking about adding another task in your schedule. I'm not talking about looking at your life as a pie and suddenly you've got like, you know, home and sports and work, God. If you do it that way, I'm telling you what will happen is the God piece will get less and less and less and less until one moment you look down at your pie, you filled it with everything else, and God receives a tiny little crumb of your life. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, God is the pie. He is the center. He's everything. God is so good. He's so good to me. And so what we need to all be asking ourselves is, are we giving first place to the God of the universe? Seek first His kingdom. His righteousness and all these things will be added to you as well. When God is first, life finds its rhythm. When He's first, peace replaces panic. When He's first, we stop surviving and we start living on purpose. And so the challenge is simple, and it's sometimes difficult. But the way to create margin in your life is by putting God first in your life and then letting everything else fill up the space behind. Take the challenge seriously today, friends. It is for your own good. It is for the sake of your own eternity and your family. Do not let this message pass today without reflecting on where are you on loving the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. God, today, for all of us, the reality is that our priorities can get out of alignment pretty easily. Somehow, worship becomes secondary or third or fourth. Somehow, our relationship with you gets pushed aside. Somehow, God, we've created so much in our life, we push so hard that we've forgotten what's most important. So God, help us today. Help us to make you first in our life. Help us to seek you first in all things. And then God, then let us just watch how you do the rest. You care for us. You love us. And God, I do pray out of concern for our church and for the families and for the people, for myself, that God, that your Holy Spirit would convict us and challenge us today, that it would drive us to times of repentance that then would turn to times of refreshing. And so God, that's our prayer. That's our prayer, and we ask it today in Christ's name.